did not think. I am African Methodist Episcopal, and their reading was not God called women into ministry. So I call myself a pioneer because I went through hell to preach the word of God. But I'm still here. So I thank the Lord for that. The Lord has been faithful to me, and I am grateful. But about a year after I received the call, God said, I want you to mobilize a force of people to pray. Well, people didn't want to pray. And I said to them, the reason why you don't want to pray is you think God's going to reveal your business. But we don't pray our business. We pray what God leads us to pray.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And I have chapters in Bermuda and North Carolina and Canada and different places that people say, I want to be a part of this intercessory prayer. Amen. And people just call in and give their prayer requests, and then we have a line, prayer line going where we pray for whatever the request is. It's non-denominational. And the only prerequisite is that you want to pray.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Good stuff.
And I used to have convocations. Once a year I would have a convocation between Bermuda and the United States. And then after 25 years, the Lord said, no more convocations, prayer gatherings. So now I just call people and say, let's pray. And we're going to have a prayer gathering here February 16th.
Yes.
So, and it's open to everybody. And we just pray. And I had to teach people how to pray. And when I say teach, it's just to let them know you're not telling your business. It's the same way when people testify. Oh, the Lord is good, and I went through this. And that's not a testimony. The testimony is what God has done, what he has accomplished.
Amen.
That's the testimony, the miracles that he has done. And I'm not supposed to be preaching. I get excited. I love the word. I love the word. I beg your pardon?
Yes.
February 16th, here.
Here?
Here.
Yeah, we do this. You know, the Lord connected me with, when was that? Like 4 or 5 years ago at Metropolitan Baptist, we did a... We did a night of intercession and prayer and worship for Newark. Chuck Pierce, was he there that night? I know Jay Swallow was there.
Jay Swallow was there.
Apostle Jay. And so that's the, you know, it was one of those divine things where it's like, you guys need to connect.
So
that's, it's been a real blessing to be partnering with Jackie. Awesome.
Jackie, I'm sorry. What time is that going to be?
10:30. Nice. February 16th, 10:30 here.
Amen.
Amen.
So prayer is a lifestyle for me.
Absolutely.
It's my life. And that's the way I view it. I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy spending time with the Lord. And you have to make time for the Lord. Because everything is going to come in to try to keep you from getting time with the Lord.
That's
but
true.
I said enough to him.
That's it. That's good. Good. That's awesome. Amen. Well, I think that being as how we're focusing on intercession today, I think it might be good if we just spend a few moments and just enjoy the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Because if he doesn't show up, I'll be honest with you, I'm going home. All right? It's just no use being here without the presence of the Lord. So I want to just invite us all. I mean, however you're comfortable. We are unashamedly charismatic and spirit-filled in our ministry. So, you know, if you flow in that, then I invite you to join in. If you don't, that's okay. You can just do you, all right? We don't put any pressure on people. But I want to just invite everyone right now to just lift up your voices and release that language of heaven, release the language of the angels, because we want to just embrace the presence of Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Yasubu Rasa Shababata Taike. Oh, Baba Sama. Jesus. Lord, we embrace you because you have embraced us. Heaven is wide open us right now.
Thank you.
The flow and the presence, the glory of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In this place.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you. We feel your presence. We sense the weight of your glory here.
Thank you.
And we thank you, God. That you let us be part of something that's way bigger than ourselves. That you want us to be part of what you're doing in the earth today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Papa. Thank you so much. Wow. Oh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of you would say that intercession is a primary call or passion on your life? Can I see your hands today? Wow. Okay. How many of you, in the pursuit of your call to intercession? Some of you weren't here perhaps when Jackie was sharing her testimony, but she shared how in order for her to fulfill her calling in intercession, she had to go through hell. I want to know how many of you here have been or are still going through hell in your pursuit of your intercessory gifting. How many of you here have not ever been truly honored, acknowledged, set in place in your call as an intercessor, and you feel that? Can I see your hand this morning? Okay. Because I felt like the Lord, you know, I asked the Lord, how do you want us to start today? Because this is not going to be any sort of typical workshop. And the Lord said, I want you to let each one know that they are honored for the calling on their life.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And I would even go so far as to say this, that if you have not been honored, if you have not been received and accepted in your gifting, that on behalf of leadership, I apologize. And I know my brother Clem would say the same.
Amen.
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 We ask your forgiveness because there are many who function in intercession who, because there has not been an adequate container, there has not been an adequate structure, you have not had the place in which you could thrive.
Amen.
Hello.
And as a result, the enemy was able to take what you have and corrupt it, not by your doing, but because you were not adequately set in place relationally. And I know how sometimes I can't speak in terms of the amount, but I know that there are times when intercessors are considered flaky.
Amen.
And if you've ever been called that or worse,
troublemaker,
okay, I break that off of you right now in Jesus' name.
Glory to the name. Hallelujah.
Let your glory fall, Lord.
Okay.
Jesus.
Because I'm telling you, this is just for me. I consider intercessors like gold.
Amen. Royal priesthood.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay.
A holy nation.
I am not an intercessor. And so I'm sitting here going, God, you're asking me to convene a workshop on intercession when that's not even my primary call. What's up with that? I was awakened to like 2:30 in the morning a few weeks ago. I'm saying, all right, Lord, what's up? And I'm sitting in my living room. And all of a sudden, here comes the download. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had been thinking about intercession for the past number of months. And there had come on me this desire to see intercession go to another level in our region. I felt like that the Lord wanted to take us into another level of service to Him, to His kingdom, to the body of Christ. Because I wasn't seeing what I thought was possible in the realm of intercession. Now, I know it may be happening in other places, and that's awesome, but I wasn't seeing it here. Mm-hmm. So my heart crying out to God, Lord, what do we do? How do we fix this? And so a few weeks ago, 2:30 in the morning, get this download from the Lord concerning calling together whoever has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And to begin a discussion about intercession, but from a kingdom perspective. And so today is not really designed for a lot of deep teaching. Okay, mm-hmm. There's going to be stuff shared, obviously. But I'm not here in the position of an expert. All right? Please hear me. I honor and respect everything that you have learned, everything that God has shown you, all the revelation that has been deposited in us all. Amen. It's there for a reason.
Amen.
And so we want a dialogue. We want to share some things. We want to talk about intercession today and allow for questions and discussion. Yeah. Because ultimately, what I sense the Lord saying is that He wants to bring us into a place of agreement about what He's saying, but more importantly, what He wants us to do going forward. Because I know, and I know you know as well, that all revelation that we receive from the Lord demands a response.
Amen.
We're called to be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Amen.
And so there will come out of this, I know, strategy. There will come out of this opportunity where we can begin to function together at a higher level in intercession. Why? Because the heart of the Father is He wants to see revival. He wants to see His Spirit and His kingdom established in this region. And it's not going to happen apart from our agreement with His agenda.
Amen.
And so that's what we're here to discover. That's what we're here to talk about.
Amen.
Okay. So I want you to just feel free at any point to, raise your hand, talk, share, whatever. This is being webcast and recorded because there are some folks that have, I know, want to see this who can't make it. And so there's a camera there, so... And you are recorded, and so, it's still working, so we're on the air. So just so that we understand that, that's what's happening. Wow. The presence of the Lord.
Yes,
right now.
Yes.
It's one of those things where it's like, okay, Lord, I don't want to mess this up. God, just be real with you. I just don't. It's like we don't want to mess this up, Lord. This is like I feel like we're all on holy ground, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I heard the father say as he was sharing that the reason that he can work through you is that there's a broader description of intercessor. And you're a music maker, you're a lyricist, you're a psalmist. You are also, because you love God and He loves you, your ear is so sensitive to the heartbeat of God. And one of your roles, so to speak, if there's a hat that you wear, or many hats, is that you equip the saints. And also you have a heart. The heartbeat of God is that we come together in one accord. God is sick of the cliques and favoritisms, the isms and schisms, and that is one of the things that is a thorn in the body of Christ to us moving forward and emanating His glory in such a high standard. And it's true. Right. People should even walk by and be healed. You know, people should be running into the lighthouses of the Lord, giving their life to the Lord easily, you know, without struggle and effort. And so I heard him say about intercessor that anybody who loves him, anybody who knows him, anybody who he pours his love into, he's expecting a command that we share it, that he pours it in as a waterfall and we overflow it wherever we go. So in that respect, for all intercessors, I myself, if I would wear a hat or a kerchief, I would say that I move more in the art realm and in prophetic evangelism. Wherever I go, people get saved. And God uses me in a bold way with that because, you know, this is one of the hearts that, where would I be? I would be dead right now if it wasn't for the Father's love and somebody inviting me after all the paths that I traveled on in my life. So, you know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what I feel he's put inside of me to share, is that more than anything, he wants us to join our hearts and our hands and come together as one body and to be able to step forward in this new year of 2013 with might and power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's looking for people who are radical, the remnant, not the Pharisee and Sadducee spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I had an opportunity to do a Skype interview with a good friend of mine, Danny Stain. He's an apostolic leader who God has recently relocated into our area. He's now in Connecticut, and he travels around just basically releasing renewal and revival. And he's someone who I trust because of my relationship with him and because of what I know he's been through. And so I want to just share a 4-minute segment with him right now. We'll also look at something later that we talked about, and just what he has to say, I think, will help us to really see where we want to go from here this morning.
See ya. Yes, definitely. Turn my phone off. So, tomorrow's workshop is, we're going to gather whoever the Lord draws. And basically the idea is we want to talk about the shift that has occurred in the way we approach intercession, which is basically going from the old style of petitioning God to do what He's already promised, really catching the heartbeat of heaven and His heart, and really declaring and sharing that, you know, making proclamations and declarations and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I just, you know, felt that you might have some insights, you might have some thoughts that would be helpful, and you know, just wanted to give you a chance to step into the region a bit.
I think probably the thing when I think of intercession and where it's come, even in my own walk, I remember the early, you know, kind of going after God, chasing God, up very early wee hours, begging, pleading God for regions, for nations, for my own family, whatever, and spending hours basically in a begging mode. Not a whole lot of faith there. Once in a while you kind of slip into faith and you kind of realize, you know, something's really going to happen. But generally speaking, it was very much a sense of I had to accomplish this through some kind of righteousness that I had. And I had read a lot of the former you know, awakeners and revivalists and people, holy men of God of old. And that was pretty much what was communicated until I started reading people like George Mueller and some of the others who were touching things very differently than the others were. The one gives a great feeling that you are a good intercessor. The other one actually has effect. And that's kind of where I began moving. So probably in the mid-80s, late 80s, things really began shifting, particularly when I began realizing that I needed to hear the heartbeat of God, and just what you were just saying right there. But after that period of time, the Lord put me into this this thing where I began realizing that I needed to not only find his heart, but I needed to pray from his heart, pray from heaven to earth rather than pray from earth to heaven. And that was that was a huge shift. It probably began manifesting itself mostly through the sense of praying for healing and stuff like that. Because when I began praying for healing, I saw zero effect from the begging, but I saw massive effect from praying in a different way, viewing things the way God was viewing things, and that changed everything. That just changed everything for me in regards to the whole intercessory thing.
Sorry for the video quality, but it was over the internet, so.
Good job.
We heard it.
Yeah, you got the gist of what he was saying.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's a fantastic point. Don't pray from catch the heartbeat of the Lord, pray from heaven to earth. Leave the glory down.
Yeah. Yeah. That really, in a nutshell, is what I understand to be the essence of kingdom intercession. It's getting to know what the heart of the Father is for any circumstance, any situation, any person, and coming into agreement with his heart. That's the key. We've all come out of, I think, the same background that Danny described, where we have tried to intercede from our side, you know. Oh God, do this. Oh God, please, you know. And we have legitimate concerns and desires. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the things that perhaps we want to see God do, right? But there's a big difference, right? Any of you that have experienced this, or Clem, feel free to jump in at any point, you know, that you can speak to. Andre?
Yes, I had an experience with praying for healing for a friend of mine. I loved her dearly. I wanted to see her healed. I thought I was hearing from the heart of the Father about her being healed. And I went into her hospital room several times, and I waved flags, and I stomped, and I decreed, healing, 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 healing. And when she died, I said, God, what's going on? Why didn't you heal her? And I didn't understand. I remember sitting in the house for 3 days. I was mourning. I said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for her to be healed, and you did not heal her. And then he finally spoke and he said, that was not my will for her to be healed. My will for her was to bring her home with me. So I said, okay. So that made me look at praying for healing in a different perspective, and to really seek the heart of the Father before I start going out decreeing and declaring what my desire was for a person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
I just want to share two things. She was healed. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I believe that.
Praise God. So you knew she was going to be healed, but not the way you knew it.
Yes.
And doesn't Jesus say he doesn't do anything but what he sees the Father do?
Yes.
Right.
And the person was healed in the presence of God.
Yes.
She was She was healed because she came into God's presence. But I think what happens is we don't have a real understanding of intercession. We think it is praying for, just standing, praying for another person. But it goes deeper than that. You have to have such a deep love for the situation or the person so that God touches your heart so to you want, you get the burden and you want to run into the presence of God, run into the throne room to intercede for that person. So love takes control of your heart, the Father's love for that situation.
Yes.
And then you stay there until you know God has moved. This is where thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
So we don't come into that alignment with God. We just think we should pray. But I also think that there's a call. Everybody can't be an intercessor. There's a calling for intercession. And if I'm wrong, brothers, if you want to jump in, please do.
No, it's definitely a calling.
There is a calling.
Everyone can pray.
Yeah. That's it. Everyone can pray, but everyone does not know how to intercede.
Yeah, I find intercession to be so hard.
It is. It's not easy.
I pray, but I find it to be such a... I'm weak, so that's a hard task for me. I just thank God that he shows me things.
Amen.
And I commune with him during the day, at night, in the spirit. And unless he shows me, it's like I'm a lost sheep. So that's a hard thing. So I'm listening to you, intercessors.
And I think that one of the things we're going to discover today is that the Lord never intended for intercession to be a struggle.
That's right.
That there is an element of his presence and joy that he's looking to shift us into. Because when you understand that our role is to come into agreement with him.
Mm-hmm.
That takes all the pressure off.
Amen.
Now it's no longer a matter of my performance as an intercessor, as a prayer. Oh, did I not pray correctly? Did I not pray enough? Did I not pray hard, you know, with enough intensity? Okay. Maybe I wasn't being effectual and fervent, as James said, you know. See, We can lay all these burdens on ourselves regarding our performance as intercessors that the Lord simply is not even, it's not even in his mind for us. Mm-hmm. It's simply a question of intercession as agreement with his heart. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. I experienced the same thing as a young lady in the back. My goddaughter died and she was so young, 47, and I went in and because I am an intercessor, and I'm praying, interceding, praying the word of God, and I really believed in my heart that God was going to heal her. My girlfriend and I stand in agreement, you know, when God's a tool, touch an agreement. We did all that. We know that strategy that I feel that you should use. And I thought I was really praying and interceding, and I felt at peace that God was going to heal her, not call her to heaven. But we just felt that God was going to heal her body, and that she was going to be a witness that God was a God that healed and that God would get the glory, because there were so many people in that hospital room, and I just knew God was going to heal her body. And when she died, I was hurt also. I said, God, I just thought I heard from you that you were going to heal her body. She was so young and she had so much to offer, and she was doing, you know, she was doing, touching a lot of people's lives. And when she died, it really hurt me, and I'm still trying to get over God. What happened? Did I miss it? Did I miss your call? Did I miss your voice? No, what happened? Because I really thought that I heard you say, I am going to heal her. And when he took her, and yes, I understand absent the body needs to be present with the Lord. I understand that. But I really thought that God was going to heal her, that he was going to get the glory, that he is the God that healed her.
But he did.
I mean, I understand he did, because
we have to understand about healing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, when you come into God's presence, you don't come into his presence
sick
with disease.
Right. And I understand that too. I understand that in God's presence, there's no sickness, that we are in his presence. There's no sickness in heaven. I understand that. But I'm saying, I started doubting myself, Lord, what happened? Because I really thought that you were going to heal her body physically, that we were going to see it with our natural eyes. Now, I know she's in heaven. I know she's healed. She's not suffering. But I'm saying, I said, I missed it. I missed your voice. I miss your calling. So then you get like, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. So you call, right. if not someone else gets sick,
yeah.
Oh, no, I can't. I'm not going to pray because he didn't hear me the prayer the first time.
Right.
So I doubt.
Yeah.
Was I doubting you when I thought I heard you?
How many of you have been through a situation like that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we all know what this is like. Okay, yeah. You have something to say?
Very disappointing.
No, I think the shift is... And Danny really picked up on that. The shift is not God's inability to hear us.
Right.
It's our inability to hear him.
Yeah. Hello. Okay, that's yes. Did I miss him?
Yes. That's the shift is hearing God.
Right.
And everything, I've been on this lately for the last probably 6 months. To me, the greatest excitement that Jesus Christ has is from... John 14:6. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The greatest presentation that Christ has for your life in him is to present you as a child of God to the Father, as a son or daughter. So to work with the daughter's portion or the son's portion is to be just completely enveloped in the Father's heart. And that was Christ's greatest mission. And to me, I think a lot of us, we are not going all the way. In other words, if we're 6 inches apart from the Father's heart, if we could close that gap, whether it's 6 feet, 60 feet, because some of us are so involved with Christ that we don't recognize that his mission was to take us into the Father's heart. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yes.
And so a lot of us have dysfunction because our dads let us down.
Yeah.
The expectation of a father has not been good on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
wow.
And I'm good with Jesus. And you know, I love salvation. I love a brother. But fathers to me could mean, you know, abuse. It could mean all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But until we get into the proximity of the Father's heart and begin to beat with him. In other words, the timing of our life has to be set by the beating of the Father's heart.
Amen.
And that pace is so foreign to the lifestyle we live today.
That's right.
We will beat the drums, we will stomp and shout, we will do everything. And there's something that I say to my son a lot, because he challenges me all the time. I say, being louder doesn't make you right.
Amen.
And
you're being fervent.
I'm stealing that one.
Yeah.
It's good.
Being loud doesn't get us a better audience with the Father.
No, it doesn't. But see, the thing about it is we're not praying from the pit.
Right.
We're already seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Oh, that's it.
And that's the key, is we're crying from a place of darkness, from a place of depravity.
Mm.
We're not recognizing our sonship, our daughtership, and that has to do with the Father.
Yeah.
Jesus did his part. His introduction to the Father's heart is where we need to live, in which we cry out, Abba, Father.
Hello. I mean,
but that place is foreign to most of us. And to me, since Jesus' prime ministry now, until he comes back, is to intercede.
Amen.
He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, forever making intercession on our behalf. The anointing or the mantle of the intercessor is going to be in a place that's seated where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
That's the primary seat of intercession. And unless we understand that because of Christ, we can sit there too, and we can hear the whispers of the Father's heart, and we can run with the Father's passion, we are going to, again, my greatest frustration is as you is, I don't want to do this anymore if I'm going to not be able to hear God.
Amen.
I mean, if that's the case, I'm just set up for failure.
That's right.
See, but that's not God.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Me. That's my performance
yeah.
orientation.
Yeah.
So if I can get so in Christ, I mean, I'm the righteousness of God, where in Christ Jesus, if I can get in Christ, I'm now seated at the right hand of God the Father with him. Mm-hmm. And I take up the mantle of intercession, mm-hmm. and I begin to beat with the Father's heart, and now I'm going to pray things that theologically in this earth are going to cause people to challenge me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right? Jesus mm-hmm. challenged the culture by the way he yes. ministered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And theologically, we can't say God doesn't heal. People will call you faithless. Mm-hmm. They'll call you a doubter. They'll call you, and we've heard it several times here. We've all prayed for people that didn't get physically healed,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect there. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ died a horrific death, and he felt every lash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He felt every time he was punched. The crown of thorns being driven into his head. He felt all of that physical pain.
Right.
And he was able to call on God to mm-hmm. say, stop the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a higher calling.
Amen.
Because of the death price. In other words, Jesus didn't come to forgive us. Jesus came to pay a debt.
Amen. Amen.
See, and the intercessor understands that we are bought, blood bought, with because there was a price on our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things are encompassed in that sense of getting close to the Father's heart, getting healed up in our own dysfunction, and beginning to recognize that we are heirs of a tremendous legacy. And so we beat with the Father's heart. We sit in Christ next to the Father. And to me, I think that's where we need to close the gap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that I'm now kind of wrestling with God about, because I'm almost schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
One minute I'm there, I'm with Christ, I'm at the throne,
yeah.
And the next I'm ready to jump out of my car with road rage and you know, and pound somebody. I mean, how could we be so easily distracted?
Yeah.
So to me, it has to do with the Father's heart, and recognizing we're not praying from the pit, but we're praying from that sense of Christ, who's seated at the right hand of God the Father, forever making intercession on our behalf. That intercession, to me, is the goal, is to find ourselves seated where Christ is seated. To me, that is the mantle of intercession. That's where we need to work towards.
Mm.
And that's the gap that has to be closed. Again, I've heard it said that, and I think that we need to tweak some of this stuff, these catchphrases that we use, that we're just beggars showing other beggars where to get the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not a beggar.
No.
That's right.
Hello.
And
this
job.
Yes, you are.
Amen. And so I'm going to show you where the filet mignon is.
Come on. Bring it on, the beef.
You know, I'm not going to eat at McDonald's when I dine with the King.
That's it.
Amen. Amen.
So
that's good.
I think that's where the gap is, and the disconnect is not praying from that place of proximity to the Father's heart. So.
Mm. That's great. And I, you know, if we agree that our primary responsibility is to know the Father's heart so that we can come into agreement with it, okay? Can we agree that that's the primary role that we have as intercessor, is to know what the Father's heart is so we can come into agreement with it? There's two things I want to share with you about that. Number one, the Bible is very clear in the New Testament that Jesus is the literal demonstration of what Father is like. That his role was, in addition to dying for our sins and to paying the debt, his role while on the earth was to demonstrate, to reveal what Father is really like. You look at Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about how he is the exact representation of the Father's glory. Okay? So, it's very important for us to know how Jesus revealed the Father. If you have any doubt about what Father is like in any situation, look for it in the life and ministry of Jesus. Any statement about the Father that you cannot find demonstrated in the life of Christ, you have reason to question and reject. One of the questions that comes up is it always God's will to heal? Well, let's look at the life of Christ. Was there anyone who came to Jesus who went away disappointed? None. So for those of us who are wanting to come into a kingdom understanding of intercession, that understanding is going to come only as we recognize how Father is represented through Jesus. You want to know what the Father's like, you have to look at Jesus. Jesus never blessed a storm. He never said to anybody, well, God is going to, you know, is going to teach you some things through this sickness. He never said that. Which one of us as a human parent would ever want to release disease on our children to teach them a lesson?
Never. Never. Never in a million years.
Am I a better parent than him? Okay. We need to begin to shift our understanding to come into agreement with who he really is.
Amen.
He's a good father.
Amen.
He's in a good mood because sin has been dealt with through his son. The judgment for sin has been paid. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself,
yes,
not counting their trespasses against them.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5.
Amen.
Okay. So what do we do with these circumstances that are very real, very painful? We're doing what we know to do, to intercede, to stand in the gap for somebody, and it doesn't work. What do we do with that? The only answer I can give you, and I'll let you share in a moment, the only answer that I can have that satisfies my heart, and it may not satisfy yours, I have to be okay with mystery. I have to be okay with not understanding everything about Papa.
Yeah.
Not understanding everything about how things operate. I don't. At the same time, I have to also make up my mind that I am not going to impugn his character. I am not going to cast aspersions on my Papa simply because something didn't go the way I thought it should, the way I prayed for, the way I stood in the gap for. I don't know. Why did they die? I don't know. But he's still good.
Yes.
He still heals everybody.
Yes.
I don't know why this one didn't get healed. I don't. But I'm not going to back off from what Jesus demonstrated about the heart of the Father. Can you see the value in that? This is so important for us to get. Because if we don't get it, we operate in a place of a divided heart. Okay? Our heart is divided. We're doubting. We're being tossed to and fro, as James talked about, right? Where we, one, oh yeah, okay, I'm not sure. No. My papa is always good. He always loves. He always wants what's best. I don't understand why sometimes it doesn't happen. But I've got to be okay with that. Because someday we'll know. There are things going on that we just can't see maybe. We haven't come into a place of maturity where he would entrust us with some level of revelation. I don't know. You know? Now, you had something you wanted to share?
I think there's another dynamic at work. If you think about when Abram prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, will you say that if there's 10 righteous men, you know, God did not reveal his heart to Abram and that he wanted to judge them and destroy them, and therefore Abram changed his prayer to, you know, get them, God. No, he kept praying, will you save them for 20, for 10, for 20. And so, what? And this insight is not anything I discovered. I read it in a book by Francis Frangipan, is that God was trying to teach him the mediating heart of Christ. Like he was giving Abram that opportunity, not that Abram was going to change his mind about destroying, you know, like, oh, God made a mistake. Gee, I will save it. You know, it was giving him an opportunity to learn what it means to be a mediator for others.
Yeah.
Even when you don't know what the Lord's ultimate desire is for that situation, you still have the heart of Christ, not willing that any should perish, still interceding for them. And I think that plays into what you just said. We don't know the mystery, but so sometimes the Lord reveals his heartbeat, and sometimes he doesn't, but he still, I think, honors the fact that we are standing in that position of mediation as Christ would do.
Yeah. We're all learning, right? We're all learning. Sure.
Sloan said that we should be like Christ. And Christ forgave for sins. So I'm thinking this, you know, you got chime in. If you consider yourself an intercessor, but you have unforgiveness in your heart, how then can you intercede for somebody else and reach the heart of the Father if there's unforgiveness in your heart? So we have to like examine ourselves in that area, and if there's any, like even that much of unforgiveness, mm-hmm. you have to check yourself first before you can actually go pray for somebody else and try to reach the heart of the Father. So what do you think?
Well, those are personal issues that I think everyone has to, you know, deal with as, you know, we're in this process. You know, obviously, if there's things that I need to get clear with the Lord, that's my responsibility to take care of. So I agree with you. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I think, too, a lot of times we can bring our conditions into how we're supposed to pray, how we're supposed to do it. I shared this last Sunday at KTI, what the Lord has taken me through as far as interceding at my job. And I shared with some of the people how a couple of the bosses were dealing with a Ouija board. Now, I shared it with some of the saints, and the first tendency that we have to do is, oh, Lord, move them out the way. But we have to ask the Lord how to pray, like they were saying, how to pray for the situation. And, you know, when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, and I'm like, well, they were walking with him all that time, and they didn't know how to pray. So maybe at some point, and this is just an assumption, at some point they were praying and it didn't work, so they're asking him to teach us how to pray. Because there's a scripture that says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Whatever we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us. So when we pray from that position of knowing that it's God's will, that's the confidence that we have, that we're able to pray for his word, pray for whatever needs to be done. And it does all go back to love. You have to have a love for the situation, like that, I don't know who said it, and a love for people, because it's all going to tie into your love walk. It can't be about judging or, you know, this is, I think they should do this or they should do that. It has to be from a point of love that, and it all boils back to salvation, to introducing them to the heart of the Father. Now I'm talking about unbelievers, because I believe that that's a big part of it.
Sure.
Me as far as unbelievers. Also the body of Christ, but more so unbelievers, because we have a tendency to, and some of it can be witchcraft, is to pray against the person instead of against the spirit.
Yeah. Sure. And we'll talk about that later as well. But so I think, you know, if we can, I want to try to move on to some other topics this morning. You have a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Couldn't it be like, well, I have two actually. The first one is, doesn't God have like a different term of healing than for us? Like you could hear like, oh, God's like, yeah, I am going to heal them. And then we get like excited. So like decree and declare and like try to heal a person when really, when he means like healing, he means like taking them to heaven.
Yeah, that's not how healing is defined though, you know. Yeah, obviously people get healed when they go to heaven, but you know, healing as we understand it scripturally is healing the physical body here and now.
And like, also, couldn't it be like you want the person to get healed like really bad, so you think that God is saying like, I want them to be healed, but really it's just you saying that I want them to be healed, so you start doing it?
Sure. Well, of course you want people to be healed, but that's the issue. Do we believe that he wants it even more? See, that's where a lot of us have struggled. We've struggled with coming into agreement with his heart. We have questioned and doubted whether he wants stuff as much as we do. Right? Does he want to do it as much as we want it? And he proved it through Jesus. That's the point. We've got to look at Jesus as our understanding of what Father's like. And since everybody that came to Jesus got healed, right? He had a perfect record. He only had to pray twice for one person. I see men as trees walking. Well, let me hit you again. Okay? So I don't know about you, but that's the standard that I see, and that's the standard I'm going after. I want to get there.
Yes. Amen.
You know? Because that's what's possible. Same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you. Right? Jesus said, you're going to do the works that I do and greater works than these. Okay? That's what's possible. So we want to get there, right? We want to come into full agreement with the heart of God. You see that? That's where coming into his presence, soaking in his presence, receiving the revelation from his word, transforms my heart to now where I flow with his heart for that circumstance, for that situation, for that person. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
I think we get off track by looking at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We get off focus. So therefore, we're not hearing God. We think we are. But what you are going through pulls you in so that you're not hearing from God. You're not seeing what God, as God sees. So therefore, the healing doesn't come as you want it to come. And we, not even realizing it, have set up a wall. And we didn't even know.
Wow. That's good.
You know, there's two points here. There's two sides to revelation. There's natural revelation and there's God revelation.
Right.
And I think sometimes we enter into intercession, I know I do, from a natural revelation.
That's right.
And I'm praying backwards. And the only thing I can lean on is Deuteronomy 29:29, and it basically says the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The activation for doing comes from God revelation, not natural revelation.
Amen.
Because natural revelation will provoke my emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will be just as passionate when I'm provoked emotionally as when I am provoked spiritually.
Right.
I have the same level of passion.
Mm.
And I'll go after it with tenacity. But the outcome will be very different.
Yes.
So to live in a revelatory relationship with God, it is to really not be handicapped by the natural revelation we are taking in all the time. It's the ability to remove distractions and focus on the still small voice of God. And to me, that's a lifelong pursuit because we are filled with distractions. We're taking input. I mean, I'll be in a restaurant and I'm picking up conversations all around the room, and my wife's talking to me. I don't hear a word she's saying, and I'm looking right in her eyes.
And that's not good.
And I'm more interested and stimulated by somebody's dysfunction over here, you know?
You are too honest, bro.
That's what it is.
And I do the same thing in ministry.
Yeah.
I'm praying down an altar line. And somebody's praying, you know, a couple people next to me, and they're having a ball over there. And I'm like, you know. I mean, we're just so easily distracted.
Yes.
The heart of the intercessor is such a focused mantle.
Mm.
It's devoted to the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to pick up the beat, the pulse of God, is to be so completely detached from every natural aspect of your surroundings that you are moving in a realm that is not seen very much in our culture in the church.
Amen.
And there was a term years ago, I mean, called Christian mystics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, mystics were looked at very differently because they were not living as one who was looked at as normal in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in a realm that was so supernatural, so foreign to everything that we understood, that we thought them quacks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if you read some of these books, like Thomas Aquinas and some of these individuals, I mean, they're just filled with tremendous, tremendous meat of revelation that God gave them that is extraordinary. And so I think what we're talking about here is the separation of natural revelation and God revelation.
Mm.
And since we have a mixture, we're going to always kind of falter, some success, some failure. And if we can take the mixture and get it more purified by our ability to work out of the distraction and into the throne room, I think that we'll have greater success.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. You know, one of the biggest areas of distraction that we've dealt with in the body of Christ is in the spirit dimension. And that has to do with our perception of the enemy and what he's doing. I can say in my own life that for many, many years, I was very much concerned about the attack of the enemy on my life. And so I did, you know, a lot of things to set up a shield around my house and my family, you know, praying the blood. And I love Psalm 91 for all the promises that are there for our protection, right? Those are awesome things. But what I found was that my focus became too much on what the enemy was doing. I was giving too much attention to what the devil was up to and not connecting with what Father was saying about the situation. And so I think that for us in this time, we've got to start to shift that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, defense is part of the package because we have the armor.
Yes.
And a large part of that armor is given for our protection. Mm-hmm. But we also got a sword. Okay. So it's not just protection as well. It's, you know, there's offense that's involved here as well. And I think that one of the things that the Lord is wanting for us to recognize now is that we cannot afford to be too impressed with the devil. Our focus has to truly be on what Papa's saying, what he's doing in any situation. Does that mean the devil's not around? No, of course he is. Jesus said in John, I believe it's John 12, he said, "Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out." Now the devil is obviously still operating in the world. So either Jesus was lying or he was talking about something else. He was talking about how Satan was cast out of his position as the prince of the power of the air, as the one who had the legal right over the earth that he had been given through Adam. We have a foe who has been defeated.
Amen.
The only way that the devil can move, honestly, is when we come into an agreement with something he has said or something he's doing.
And we repeat it.
And we say it, or we live out of that reality.
That's right.
Okay? The power of agreement is something that the Lord is really, really wanting us to understand as his kids. Because what you agree with determines what happens. Why? Because he gave this earth to us. Do you understand that when Jesus left, he left us in charge?
That's right.
He left us in charge, folks. What does that mean? That means we can't be walking around blaming the devil. We can't even walk around blaming God. Because it's us. We're the ones who've been given responsibility to live out of a kingdom mindset, exercising kingdom authority, releasing kingdom power. We have been invited into a partnership with Father to redeem this earth.
Amen.
Jesus said, "The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony, and then the end will come."
Amen.
He didn't say, "The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached and then the end shall come." He said, "This gospel shall be preached as a testimony and then the end shall come." You know what that means? That means that until every area of this earth experiences the reality of the kingdom of God through his people, our job's not done. A testimony is an evidence of some reality, and in our case, it's an evidence of the reality of the kingdom. This is not just words. This is not just simply me up there preaching and saying, "You need to get saved." That's not a testimony. Amen. You know what a testimony is? Papa's good. He loves you.
Amen.
I want to heal what's wrong with you right now to show you the reality of the kingdom, to show you what it's like to live in his kingdom. That is preaching the gospel of the kingdom as a testimony. It's bringing people into an encounter with the living God. So as representatives, as ambassadors of this kingdom, we are brokers of heaven's reality into this one. We are administrators of the government of God into the earth.
Amen.
Because everything in heaven, it's all good. Right? Nothing wrong up there. And what did Jesus say? That we should be declaring, as in heaven,
so
on earth. Okay? So I want to encourage you this morning to begin thinking from that perspective. Okay. Yeah, the devil's out there. Yeah, he's doing some crazy stuff. He's doing some nasty stuff. He's got some people, you know, under his thumb that are doing whatever he says. No question about it. But how does that look in comparison to who Papa is? And what Papa's doing. Okay. One time I was in a meeting, and I've shared this I think at other times, so forgive me if you're hearing this again, but I was in a meeting, I think it was here, it was in the big sanctuary. And I was, you know, looking around specifically to see where Jesus was and what he was doing. Because I just like to do that. Say, Lord, what are you up to here? Right? So I'm looking around, and I don't see him. I'm like, Lord, I know you're here. Why can't I see you? And all of a sudden, what I saw was I saw us in the room in the palm of his hand. All right? Mm-hmm. And then he took me even further out, and all of a sudden now I saw the whole globe, the world, in his hand. And so the reason why I couldn't see him in the room was because he's so big, I couldn't see him. Right? So here I'm looking at, and then all of a sudden I'm even further out and I see the whole universe in his hand. And he wasn't done yet. He goes like this and puts it in his heart. Amen. I tell you, I've never been the same since that. Amen. Every single situation, amen, every problem, every trial, every circumstance that we look at, I can't afford to have that look bigger to me than he is.
Amen.
I can't afford that. Once we start to understand that, oh my gosh, that's like hitting the easy button.
Excuse me, someone just put a text out asking you to please move the mic to a closer to the table. It's difficult to hear.
Okay, I thought I turned everything up. But I'll do that.
The wonders of technology.
Mm-hmm. Anyone have any thoughts on that before we move on?
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for your presence. Woo.
Wow. My goodness. Man. So good. Hallelujah. Let's take a presence break, right?
Just nothing like, wrong with that.
Papa, thank you, Lord. It's good.
It's hard to top that.
No, you can't. One of the things that we deal with when it comes to this interplay of the kingdoms, right? Got the Lord's kingdom and we got the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. Is that many times as intercessors, we receive revelation about things that are negative, about things that pertain to disaster and destruction. Any of you find that happens? You get revelation like that,
yes.
You know, bad things happening, you know. What are we to make of that? Well, again, if we can come into agreement with the Father's heart, right? Is it possible, knowing the heart of Father, that any of those negative things that get revealed, could they possibly come out of his heart?
Yes.
Okay. Knowing his goodness, right? Knowing his love, knowing his desire for his children, what we see many times, and I, you know, I do prophetic training, and so I work with folks who are getting revelation. And many times we get this negative stuff coming, and we automatically assume that that's what God is saying he wants to happen. Mm-hmm. Or we want to have God wants to send an earthquake or a storm or, you know, destruction of some kind. I've had folks give me, you know, stuff that they're saying that they see a huge tsunami coming, you know, to wipe out the East Coast. And then we've got folks who are prophesying the obvious about an earthquake in California. All right, we know that there's a fault line in California, so it's like you don't need to be very spiritual. But what I want to just throw out there for you guys to consider, and I want to get some feedback from you, is the idea of the three realms. Okay, we understand the first heaven is the atmosphere around us. We understand about the third heaven, which is where Paul got caught up to, which is glory. But there's also this second heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Which really is that realm of the spirit where the enemy basically operates still, mm-hmm. okay, until he's displaced by us. Okay? So what happens, this is what I believe happens, is that those of us that have this sensitivity and our ability to see in the spirit realm, you get this kind of revelation about bad stuff, but you're getting it from the second heaven. All right, you're getting a revelation about what the enemy is looking to do, because how did Jesus describe him? The thief comes
to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right. That's the devil's MO.
That's right.
Right? So when we get this kind of negative revelation about stuff, how do you handle that? What do you do with that?
Put it on the shelf.
Well, you could put it on the shelf.
Can I get into that? I remember years ago, my mother had just gotten saved, and she was a joyous believer in Christ. But she had heart trouble all of her life. I remember one night I went to the hospital to visit her, and we had a great fellowship. We were laughing in the spirit, and it was a wonderful time. But just before I left, the spirit told me she was going to die that night. Now, on the one hand, that's sad. I even feel sad about it today. But on the other hand, she was being promoted. She was going to be with the Father.
Yeah.
So I think about what is being shared now, that is that not God's will? Yeah, we all die. It's just a matter of when it happens, unless we take it that, in a miraculous way, like you see in the scriptures. Or when someone asks you to go to pray for someone, but you get an inclination in your spirit that says, I don't think that answer is going to happen. But you do it out of obedience, because you just do it out of faith. You do it because someone asked you, I will do this because I'm who I am. I have been wrong a few times, every minute. So you do it, but it doesn't happen. And you just continue walking in faith in the mystery, because it's the kingdom of God is such a mystery. Yeah. And then you have other times when groups of people are praying, desiring something to happen, and you sense, well, me? I don't see that it's going to happen. I don't say that maybe it's not God's will. God's will to all be saved. We know some parts of God's will definitely for certain. He wants us all to be saved, but we're all not going to be saved unless you come from a different faith.
Yeah.
That's another story. And it saddens when that doesn't happen, because we don't know the mystery.
All right.
So what am I saying? It's be in agreement with God's will if you know His will. But if it's not everybody's understanding, we walk hand in hand regardless under the umbrella of faith and grace, and we're not offended.
Okay.
It's a challenge for me.
As I said, brother, we're all learning.
As I'm hearing this, I'm thinking somewhat of my own experience. I don't so much see things as I feel things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I tend to be an introvert, so I'm like, why am I suddenly feeling so sad, kind of thing, and so mm-hmm. on. And the Lord, a few years ago, hit me up the side of the head and said, this isn't about you. Mm. That there was someone in my presence that I needed to pray for, mm-hmm. who was feeling what I was feeling.
Right.
I didn't understand about being a burden bearer. I never even heard that term.
Right.
And
And I think sometimes the Lord allows us to see the enemy's plan so that we can come against it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Sure. When we recognize that negative stuff is coming, it's not because that's God's will. It's because he's inviting us to do something about it.
Yeah, like the prophets, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, yeah. Think of all the terrible things
yeah.
that they saw.
Right.
But it was like, you know, there was always opportunity if the people would turn around.
Right.
You know.
Sure.
That wouldn't happen. Unfortunately, we don't have a real good history.
Sure.
I know when I took your prophetic class, and I had mentioned at that time that I had this vision about a plane going into a skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the plane went into a skyscraper, then another plane. I'm thinking that this is a recurring dream, like the same night.
Right.
And I think it was like two or one year later was 9/11 into the towers.
Sure.
But I didn't know at the time to ask God, can you show me what that's about? You know, you reveal to me, what should I do? I didn't know that.
Exactly.
So, but now I know when I receive those kinds of things to start asking God, okay, you know, can you show me, would you? Or tell me how I'm supposed to pray about it, or, you know, but now I know, but then I didn't know.
Yeah.
But it was the real tall towers.
Yeah.
The big planes, but I didn't know.
Sure. And you're not the only one. Many folks had stuff like that as well. And that's why we're learning. That's why we want to do this, so we can begin to understand what God's trying to release through us, you know, that we can actually make a difference. If you happen to get a revelation about something that the enemy's trying to do, well, you know what? That's good, because we're going to stand up and do something about it. We're just not going to let him have his way, you know, in our territory. So I just felt like, you know, that's something that needs to be said, that we need to recognize that negative revelation is not meant, you know, as I said, to be an indication of what God wants. It's an indication of what we can do in response to something the enemy's trying to initiate in our area. Does that make sense?
Yes, and we're shown these things as a means of preparation.
Mm.
Yes.
Preparation for action.
Right.
So you just don't ignore it, but God is preparing us to act.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anything?
No, I was just reminded of 2 Kings, where Elisha was, you know, the king of Syria was really mad at him.
Yes, indeed.
Because it was told him that, you know, because Israel was always warned by Elisha on what the king of Syria
That's
was
right.
planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the king of Syria says, what's going on? And his advisors told him that it's the prophet Elisha.
Yes.
He hears what you talk about in your bedroom.
Come on.
And he tells Israel. And so he sent a whole army, you know, chariots and the whole deal to go kill Elisha. And Elisha wasn't sweating it. Not only was he completely, you know, in revelatory anointing with God, but he had an angelic army dispatched on his behalf, and he knew it, but his servant didn't. And so there are going to be those around you that are going to be freaking out by the revelations you get, and not only will they not know what to do, they will be more sensitive to the enemy's attack than the angelic realm of provision that's dispatched to prevent and to completely eradicate the devil's plans, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
So it's sometimes you're called to talk to people that are going to think that you're nuts. And the basic, and we did this Sunday, we just prayed for everybody in the congregation a simple prayer, because all Elisha did for his servant, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see.
Hello.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we laid hands on everybody and prayed that simple prayer, went right down the whole line and just prayed for everybody. And it was a great day. And I believe that's one of the decrees that we can get into later on, is a simple prayer like that, because the prophet prayed for his servant who was was not in a revelatory anointing. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And immediately he saw angels and chariots
of fire.
And it was just, now automatically his spirit was calmed. You know, we're on the winning side. So in responding to getting into the enemy's business and thwarting his plans, God is not going to let you just see one side of what the enemy's showing. God always showed Elisha what he was doing and what he was about to do. So he had full revelation. Complete revelation. And I think that's the area of faith that we need to live in, is the full revelation. It's not just disaster, but answer from God. And then it allowed him to impart. And I think as intercessors, you have the ability to impart to the unknowing that which God reveals. And I think that that's going to be a tremendous outpouring in these latter days, is intercessory impartation for revelation. And I hope that's connecting with you, because I think that that's where pastors are missing the connection of the intercessor.
Could you repeat that?
One of the things that Elisha did was he imparted to his servant insight to see revelation of what God was about to do on their behalf. And I think in this last season that we're going to see impartation from intercessors to show those that are unknowing the things that are known by God and what God's about to do. And that's going to be one of the spearheads or springboards to increase faith in the church. Church is lacking in the area of faith. And so intercessory anointing is not a backroom ministry. It's an upfront mantle that is going to be part of the impartation of these latter days.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Amen. Yes, it is.
In effect, what Clem is saying is that if you are intercessory, if you're an intercessor, you're gifted in that, you're automatically prophetic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. It just comes with the package.
It does.
Okay?
It does. All right. It does.
Did you want to say something?
When you have a gift of intercession, you're supposed to be alert at all times. And the reason why I say you have to be alert at all times. I was home and I saw a school bus. I didn't see anything bad about this school bus, but I saw a school bus. And right away my antenna went up, and the reason why it went up is because I had nieces coming home on the school bus. So I didn't see anything bad. That's what I'm stressing. I couldn't say that I saw it in an accident or anything. But I started to pray over that school bus. I prayed because I also believe that your intercession can be territorial where you're lodged. And so I started to pray over the school buses in that area and ask the Lord to cover them. That afternoon, they had a school bus accident. I live in really Trenton. Even though we live in the suburbs, it's considered Trenton, too. That afternoon, it had a school bus accident in Ewing, which is another suburb, and another one in Neptune.
Wow.
And I probably said to myself, the intercessors in that area didn't. Because I'm certain if I saw, they saw. But it wasn't anything that I said I saw that was bad.
Right.
Probably I just said, why did I see a school bus and dismiss it?
Yeah.
But right away, something clicked. This has to be significant.
Wow.
And I started to pray.
That's great. That's great.
So,
I think you're right. That's part of the mantle that you have as an intercessor. And I just want to, you know, let's piggyback off of what Clem was just saying, because I want to throw out to you what the Lord was showing me about intercession in terms of the major ways that folks flow. Now, there may be more beyond this, so if there is, you know, if I'm missing anything, you can let me know. But what God showed me was that there are three primary ways that intercessors function under the anointing. The first one is that, let me get my notes out here so I don't mess up. The first arena is the area of the seer, okay, where you see in the spirit realm something going on that triggers your intercession, all right? How many of you would say that that's one of the primary ways that you get revelation for prayers through seeing?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Then you've got the arena of the sensor. This is an arena where you feel something.
Oh,
okay. And because of that level of revelation, you're moved, hopefully, to intercede, unless you haven't learned it yet. And then you walk around feeling like you're schizophrenic. It's like, what's wrong with me? You know, I need Prozac or something, you know. Right? And the final one is the arena of the Rhema Word of God, which I've not really ever heard talked about in terms of intercession. Again, I'm not an intercessor, but if there's any way that I flow in intercession, it is through this arena of the Rhema Word of God. Mm-hmm. What happens for me is that I will, all of a sudden, as I'm praying, the Lord will release a scripture verse or a phrase or a word that just ignites in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And I begin to pray over that. I begin to make declaration over that. I begin to, you know, be engaged in the truth of whatever that word is, okay? And so I feel like that's a realm of intercession that is not the same as these other two, but yet it's obviously just as important, you know, as that. So anybody else ever kind of have that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not...
not by yourself.
I'm not by myself, okay? So... And there's challenges, I think, in all those areas for intercessors to understand how to function well and not be brought down by that. And especially, I think, it's the area of the sensing. All right? And so I asked my sister Millie if she would share a little bit, if you would come and do that, some of her experiences in the realm of the sensing aspect of the intercessor. Because God's, you know, taught her some things about that I think would be really helpful. Wants to hear?
Hi. For me, it came very, very, very weird. I had been very sick for a season, and since I could literally not move or do much, all I did was lay on a sofa, and I couldn't even so much as read because it was like really hard. I couldn't see well or anything. So I started to pray. And during that time, that's when the Lord gave me the assignment that I was to pray for Russ and for what God was going to take him to. So I called Russ and I said, Russ, man, you know, I just want to tell you, the Lord told me that I'm to pray for you. So I need to know what you want me to pray for. Well, he started to tell me. And as he started to tell me, all of a sudden, I felt like a house had fell on my shoulders. And I am in my bedroom on the phone, and I'm literally holding on to my dresser, trying not to fall. And I'm physically down on, I finally ended up on my knees because the weight was physical. It was a physical weight that felt, that knocked me down. And I'm like, Rust, I can't get up. I don't know how you're doing it. I'm feeling this and I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm freaking out. I mean, literally freaking out. I'm ready to cry. I'm like freaking out. Mm. And then, you know, he scolded me. He literally scolded me. No, Don't accept that. That's not yours, okay? God's given me the grace to handle this. Well, I happen to have been blessed with a mom that, my mom was an intercessor, and my mom was a seer, and my mom also felt. I mean, she had, but my mom was illiterate. My mom did not read the word, so I had given my mom, I had the privilege of leading my mom to the Lord, given her the word on tapes. My mother would listen to tapes, you know, the Bible on tape all day long. And I called her and told her what happened. Well, my mom had, because she was home and all she did was pray, she grew in leaps and bounds way beyond what I ever dreamt. And I remember sharing it with her mom. You know, I was praying and this is what I felt for my friend. And I had to come, you know, as she shared with me, it was the understanding of being able to separate the two. It took me a while, I'd be honest with you, because then we would go, Russ would take us to places where we would minister in the prophetic or whatever, and I would feel what everybody was feeling. Oh my goodness, somebody had a stomach ache, I had a stomach ache. Somebody had a leg pain, I had a leg pain. Somebody had a back pain, I had a back pain. And it was like, okay, how do I get away from this? And it took time to understand, and as I submitted myself to it and allowed God to show me, okay, can I verbalize it? Not really. I just, it was in a knowing as I went through it to ask the Lord, show me, Lord, is this from me or is this for someone? And so I learned to use it to intercede. I learned to feel the loneliness and it wasn't mine. Mm-hmm. Or was it mine? I learned to feel the stomach ache. Was it mine or not mine? Mm-hmm. I learned to feel it and know. And then it was like radar, because my mom said to me, you need to see where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, I was like, what do you mean see where it's coming from? She says, look around. He'll That's make right. it clear. That's right. And sure enough, I would feel a back pain, and it was like neon, yeah, 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 and the person would shine up, and I'd walk over to a person and say, are you having back pain? Yes. And so I'd know that this was the person I had to pray for. And it, the instant I prayed, the pain was gone. And the instant I would lift up, or even if I was in a room by myself, and I started, Lord, who is this for? Is this mine or is this someone else's? The Lord would just present the person before me. My daughter, some of you may know this, my daughter, Magali, had gotten married a few years ago. And 3 days after her wedding was in a horrible car accident. Her husband died instantaneously. She broke both legs. My daughter was a dancer and it devastated her. Okay. Now, the day that it happened, I was meeting with a group of women that I was mentoring, and all of a sudden, I had this severe leg pain. I mean, severe leg pain. And when God, you know, I was like looking at the girls, and I didn't see the neon that I usually see. You know, I'm looking at the girls I was mentoring, and I didn't see that. Right. I didn't, and I'm like, I stopped, and the girls even, what's wrong, Millie? What's wrong? And I said, I have to pray. And I just stopped, and the Lord showed me my daughter. And as soon as I said, let's pray for my daughter. Well, no, instantly did I start praying for my daughter. The phone rang, and I found out about her accident that day. And, of course, I had to fly out to Florida and, you know, to take care of her. But God shows you. He shows you. He's not going to give you something for you to suffer it.
Right.
He's not going right. to give it to you for you. And it took me a while to understand this, okay, that he gives it to me for a reason. As an intercessor, I am to see what I'm praying about, okay? My mom used to always say, you know, you want to go beyond the seeing. You want to see him. Yes. What does Amen. He want you right. to do? Mm-hmm. That's why what he said is so relevant, that we need to know the Father's will. What yes. is the Father asking us Amen. To pray? What is the Father Amen. Asking? Because, you know, we get so hung up in the physical. You know, my prayer for my daughter, oh, God, heal my daughter, heal my daughter, heal my daughter. I was freaking mm-hmm. out. And my mother checked me real quick. Mm-hmm. My mother checked me real quick. This is her favorite granddaughter. And my mother checked me real quick. She said, stop. Are you listening to the Father's heart?
Mm.
And I had to stop.
Amen.
because now I'm sitting there with my mother screaming, God, you got to heal my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And as a parent, you freak out. But God showed me, and you know, I thank God for my mom. My mom right away, stop. Look at the Father. Let's look at the Father. Is that what the Father wants us to pray? And as soon as I did that, I was able to pray for my daughter as God intended.
Amen.
Okay? As Amen. God intended. And today my daughter's fine. My daughter gets Amen. Around, you know, I mean, she doesn't dance like she used to, but she gets around and she's Amen. Fine. She's not in a wheelchair anymore, Amen. Which they said she would be. And she's no, you know, not walking with canes and walkers and all of that like
Praise
she did.
Lord.
Amen. As a matter of fact, it was right here during a prayer session that you were at. My daughter got healed. And she's been fine, okay?
Amen.
And she walks all over the place, and she's great.
Amen.
But it was seeing the Father's heart and yes. how to pray for her. It was seeing, learning. And after that, since even now, I hardly call Russ man. I hardly call Russ man.
It's terrible.
But I know how to pray for him.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
I know how to pray Amen. For him. You know
yes.
why? Because the Father shows me. I, every day I pray for Russ man, his family, his ministry. But when I pray for Russ man, Father, how do I pray for him today? What does Russ need me to lift up today?
Amen.
What do you want me to pray for Russ today?
Amen.
Sometimes I'll call him up, and if I get stumped a little bit, I'll call him up, Russ man, I'm... What do you need me to pray for?
I know.
But I'm telling you the truth. I don't
Amen.
Do it often, but I
Amen.
Pray for Russ every day.
Amen.
I pray for his family and ministry every day.
Amen.
It's not something I take lightly. It's not an
That's
assignment
right.
I take lightly.
Right.
I mean, you know, but I know, and I could sense in my spirit sometimes I feel things that I know it's for Russ.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know that it's not about me.
Amen.
I know
Amen.
It's not about how I, you know, I'm going through this or that and the other thing, or what the enemy is attempting on Russ, and I can cancel that out. I can mm-hmm. declare and decree mm-hmm. in Jesus' name, because this is what the Father wants me to pray.
Amen.
And that's become very real to me.
Amen.
So I hope that helps.
Yes. Any questions? Any questions?
I need to add to that.
Go ahead. Questions?
Yeah.
Cool.
I just like to add, the same thing happens to me, but
wow.
what is so different is I can go into a church to preach, and the things start hitting me. And I'll say, now, Lord, you know these people don't believe in laying on hands. Now, Lord, you know, you got to help me through this. But the feelings, the pain is so great until when they introduce me, I get up. Somebody in here has back pain right here. Who is it? Because once I pray for you, it'll leave me. So come on up here.
That's good.
Come on up here. And, but it's not just one thing. It may be five things. And then after that, there's a line. I said, I can't pray for you, not going to preach. But God is good because he shows it to me. I feel it. He'll even show it to me before I get to the church. Just flash people, flash pictures.
Mm.
And then when I get to the church, I saw you last night. Because God showed me that person. So
that's so true. You'll be going somewhere and you'll see a face that you don't even know.
Yeah.
And the next moment you'll meet that person.
That's right.
That's who you need to pray for.
That's right. Absolutely.
The key that I think that we have to recognize is that all prophetic revelation is redemptive in purpose.
Amen.
The purpose for any revelation that you get from the Lord is for some redemptive purpose to happen. All right?
Amen.
He, God doesn't give us revelation for our entertainment.
That's right.
Okay? So whatever you get from the Lord, there's going to be some redemptive purpose to it, whether it's for healing, whether it's for restoration, whether it's for deliverance, whether it's for salvation, you know, whatever it is, the kingdom of God being released in a region, you know, God gives revelation because he's wanting something to happen. when I train folks in the prophetic, we have a little phrase that helps us remember this. What God reveals,
He heals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what I'm thinking is, for those, you know, wonderful revelations, the visions that we see, maybe, are we moving into a new place because they're plain to be shown to you how, you know, what's our next step, is what I'm saying. Because I think, you know, if the healing and the visions continue in a massive scale, because that's why we're here.
Right.
You know, we're at a level in each of our lives with the Father, and He's calling us to refine this and to become better equipped.
Yes.
You know, goodbye Obamacare, goodbye terrorism, but how do we do that? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you take those words, those pictures, and put them into action? Where I'm coming from. Because I think, you know, we only have a small drop of what God wants to do. You know, I want it to rain and pour. Hallelujah, for His glory and for the salvation of all those people.
Right.
You know, we don't have to have those buses crashing.
Right.
We see it. We don't have to have those planes crashing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't have to have those people having those ailments. So.
Yeah.
Need the government. We don't need anti-terrorism, FBI, yeah. CIA, you know, black ops. Well, we just need the light of the Father. Let's move into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Let's walk.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, you put your finger on the very purpose for this gathering today.
Amen.
Is to recognize that there's revelation that's being released that we need to steward properly.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to take responsibility for and become strategic in our response to it. And so, you know, this afternoon session, I think, is going to largely be made up of how do we go forward in this realm of intercession for a region, for this area, for revival, okay? Because we have, in my opinion, we have approached the whole realm of revival from that wrong position.
Mm-hmm.
I have cried out to God, as you have, Lord, send revival.
Yes.
Bring revival. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we have approached, our posture in this has been, God, why aren't you sending revival?
Mm-hmm.
what is it that we need to do? Okay?
Amen.
Instead of, Papa, what's your heart concerning revival?
Amen.
Do we really believe that we need to convince Him to send revival? Are we really trying to talk God into reviving this region, this nation? But that's how we've approached it, isn't it? Oh God, you know, we're going to fast and pray. We're going to cry out to you. We're going to, you know, we're going to cut ourselves and, you know, and do all this stuff until you respond. Wait a minute. What is revival?
The moving of God's Holy Spirit.
Revival is nothing more, nothing less than learning to live in the atmosphere of heaven on earth.
Amen. Amen.
Because if you can't be revived in heaven, you come on. Right?
Right.
So God is challenging us, and this whole morning has been about coming into agreement with His heart. Revival is the normal Christian life. Would you agree?
Yes.
It's the normal Christian life. And God is prepared to do what He's promised, which is to transform us into the image of Christ, to make us able to represent Him and His kingdom well, to be sons and daughters who understand our responsibility, who don't need, by the way, to be told by somebody what to do, because we hear from the Father and we know who we are. we're getting clarity on our destiny and we're pursuing that in, you know, obviously connection with the rest of the body. Nobody, you know, no one's Lone Rangers anymore. At least I hope you're not. I would assume that you're not, because the Lone Rangers have been taken out pretty much. You can't survive very long as a Lone Ranger, right? So, it's 12 o'clock, and I feel like we should really take a break for lunch. I'm not called to fast today. So let's take a break for an hour, and there's plenty of places around here that you guys can get something to eat, and we'll come back at one or so and reconvene, and let's start talking about some strategy, okay? Cool.